And good morning from right here downtown Redding, California, KCNR. And this is Common Ground Radio, your progressive radio talk show. And we're going to have an exciting program this morning, folks. Before we dive into it, I want to give a special thanks to a gentleman who has done so much for Common Ground Radio, and a gentleman by the name of Storm King. Storm, go ahead, introduce yourself.
Thank you, Christian. Yes, I've been a social media, social activist for a long time. It started back before the last presidential election in 2016. One of my favorite memes is this picture of Trump, and the caption says, "If you haven't lost any Facebook friends over this, you need to step up your game." So I use a lot of humor in my shows, and I love being involved in this radio program. This is my first effort at local politics, and I'm having a real blast with it.
Well, and you know, Storm has done so much. He's helped with the Nathan Blaze campaign. I think has raised, I don't know, a little bit of money anyway. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, thanks to Storm and the people in the community, we were able to raise like $2,600. People are just very generous and, you know, seeing that, you know, someone needed help and Storm facilitating that. You know, I just want to thank you here and now again.
Yeah. And that page is still available, folks. You can go to that and contribute to Nathan's Legal Defense Fund. And we also have raised some money for Common Ground Radio, and we encourage you to do that because it does cost money to run this show, believe it or not. It sounds cheap, but it's not exactly cheap. I'm going to do this. We're going to make a couple of introductions here. Then I'm going to back out of the studio and take a look at this thing called the bulletin board. Evidently we get a lot of interesting comments on there, and I'm known on the bulletin board as Comrade Christian. And that's fine. So, a couple of announcements. We have a very interesting guest next Saturday, folks. You want to tune in. We all love Audrey Denny, and Audrey, bless her heart, just did so much for the progressive and democratic cause here in Northern California, but she decided not to run. So we have a brand new candidate. I can't introduce his name just yet due to financial campaign election law, we will be able to do so on the 7th. So take a look at the Common Ground Radio Facebook page. You're going to get a lot of information on this guy. This guy is interesting. And as I said on Facebook page, he's going to give Doug a run for his $5.5 million subsidy food stamp money. And the next thing I'm going to introduce you real quick is I invited the state of Jefferson to a talk show radio debate. And the idea is we'll do three, maybe four topics, and we're going to use a structured debate format. Carl Bott's real interested in this. He wants to see it happen. And it's time for everybody, not just the militia, but even us, to either put up or shut up. And we're going to back it with factual information. And this is going to be an exciting show, so take a look for that. And now, without further ado, I'm going to introduce RV.
Thank you, Christian. RV Scheid here from A News Cafe. You may have noticed if you tried to log on to A News Cafe website in the last 24 hours, you haven't been able to get on. And part of that reason is one of our guests here, Nathan Blaze, who had an altercation we'll be talking about shortly. The videotape of the altercation has finally come out. It's shown that Nathan was telling the truth the whole time, and numerous other people were lying. Right now, so many people are visiting A News Cafe that they've crashed the website. So
hug of death.
Yeah. Right? Hopefully it'll be back up soon. Along with Nathan today, we have Benjamin Nowain.
Yes.
And our subject today, for callers out there that need a subject to call in, is what is patriotism? And these two young men, to me, symbolize what patriotism is. They care enough about issues in this town that they've stepped up to do something about it in a peaceful way, in a knowledgeable way, and not in an offensive way. And so that's why they're here. But I wanted to preface their introduction with the fact that there was a county supervisor, was this week, right?
Yeah,
last Tuesday. When Patrick Jones made his famous remark referring to Nathan Blaze as a domestic terrorist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is so against the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, that I'm just kind of stunned that Jones says these kind of things and gets away with them. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks he's a patriot because, you know, he crossed the Sacramento River in a love boat. So
it's first base.
The nice powdered wig.
So, Nathan, why don't you just talk us about a little bit about the video finally coming out and how it's vindicated you.
So it was I initially saw the video a day after the altercation happened. One of my former employers allowed me to see the video on his phone. But we never received the video, and we knew that the police had it, you know, but we never got a hold of it. And so without that video, the Reading Police Department, you know, Sergeant Garnero released this press release that just painted a ridiculous picture. You know, I actually cried when I read that press release because I knew what it was going to do to me and how people are going to use that against me.
You knew you were in trouble because they weren't on your side.
Right. And it's the police saying it, you know, and it's back the blue. So I'm like, wow, they just, whoever this captain or sergeant is really just did something terrible to me.
What I found particularly egregious is that you were in under no legal trouble. They tried you in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
That.
I still have not been charged with anything. I won't be charged with anything. It's just, I don't understand that. And the thing with that press release is that the way that things were written, there was complete false things written, like saying that I had gotten into another altercation at another location, you know, that never happened at all, you know. And then the way they wrote the, that an altercation happened in a nearby parking lot, you know, instead of the back door of my actual workplace, you know.
It was amazing to
so
see
misleading.
To see the tape of the back door scene.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
exactly like you told me. Just like exactly like I pictured it in my head.
And, you know, I mean, honestly, I felt so much relief when I got to see the video again because, you know, people gaslight you and you start doubting yourself because you're like, it was a really quick situation. Maybe I didn't remember that right. I'm just really hoping I did so I don't look stupid. And then I saw that and I was like, thank God I remember that correctly, you know?
And the other thing about that scene that was revealing for me, because I talked to Carlos Zapata, too, one of the gentlemen that was involved in this assault on you,
mm-hmm.
and he insisted he was not there at that back door. And lo and behold, there he is.
Right there. He was stepped in the back door,
yes.
You know? And it's just, you know, and then he says, there's something he says about not that I got into a fight or something with two people he didn't know.
Yeah.
That's just, it's
tacitly untrue.
Surprising statement.
There was no, there's no audio on those tapes. Do you remember any of the things that were saying? Was he directing those people or?
So I don't remember what was exchanged. When we were out in the back in the parking lot and we didn't know they were coming up behind us. You know, I've still got my back turned before I see them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they said something and then that got our attention and then we saw them and realize, like, you know, we sort of like slowly walk, you know, like
slow retreat,
you know. I wanted to, like, I didn't want to like run really quick, like but so we sort of like in my mind I was like, crap,
you did,
I gotta
okay.
get
it didn't look like you were
yeah
right
I
there.
gotta get out of here though because this guy's like, oh, he trains cops to fight, you know, like this dude, I'm not gonna fight this guy.
No.
And like he likes violence and he said that and I'm like,
yep.
And then especially seeing him and then this really big girl and then the other big guy, I'm like, you know, and then so we get in the back door and then, yeah, and then they're still at the back door. We're telling them to, you know, basically leave in other different way of saying it, but we were telling them to leave and then she just grabs me. It's just.
Now, I'm not sure, like, I think the News Cafe website was already having trouble when I was trying to view the videos, but does the inside the bar video capture him throwing in the drink?
No, and unfortunately it doesn't. You know, and it's interesting about that too is that where he sat, you know, at the bar. I've never seen him and his wife sit at that bar, especially when the whole bar is open. They always sit in the middle. That was my experience, was always seeing them sit in the middle of the bar.
He did something that stood out to me too. He looks directly at the camera and then backs away,
right.
Like right before the alleged incident.
He's got the red eye from the lights or whatever.
Yeah. And you know, they were there for about 2 hours, and I didn't know that. I didn't know they were there for that whole time.
Well,
you know,
that's enough time to get toasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Liquid courage.
Man.
Yeah. So Benjamin, a little bit of a pivot that I think that I've caught with you a little bit, and then I think that's going on with the recall movement, in part because of these negative things that are happening to Mr. Zapata. His behavior is finally catching up to him.
Yes.
There's been sort of a shift to, this is Patrick Jones's movement now.
Right.
And I'm seeing you've been very critical of him at least the last two supervisor meetings.
I think the last three supervisor meetings. It just something about his demeanor, his behavior, just the way that he sort of conducts business. I found it absolutely incomprehensible that he wasn't held to task before this. Like it was, you know, part of it is because I wasn't paying attention. Maybe a lot of people weren't. But you know, 5 months ago, you know, he gets in and just starts, you know, behaving in a very, very partisan way in a county where that necessarily isn't the local politics. That's not how we kind of behave here. I mean, I know people, you know, have like national, you know, ideals and stuff, but like when it comes to business that we're doing in the county, we don't behave that way.
Right.
Well, yeah, talk a little bit about that idea, because I think that kind of runs with my idea of what I call regular Republicans.
Yeah.
It's not everybody's a crazy Trumpster.
There are a lot of good Republicans that I know and live here.
And so but it's hard to get a gauge on how they feel about current events.
Well, the best way I could put it is that we've been, you know, coming to these meetings since May 4th. It seems like a million years ago now. And what I've noticed is between the three supervisors who are currently under, you know, the threat of recall, they kind of just focus on their work, and it's some of the stuff that they're doing isn't necessarily stuff that they agree with politically. I'll take, for example, the LGBTQ Pride Proclamation Month. Some of them weren't 100% on board, but they understood how important it was to the community, mm-hmm. and that coming to the table and speaking with those individuals and listening to their issues, that this was going to be a net good for society, as opposed to, I don't believe it personally, so I'm going to vote this down. Like, see, that's the kind of bipartisanship we need, and I think we can get there. The recall's not going to put us there. They're a my way or the highway group.
Right.
Yes.
And those kind of groups, you can never work with them because they will never be willing to back down from anything they believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jones wants that one extra vote so it can be 3-2 majority.
Right.
And that kind of scares me because when you put it that way,
yeah.
Getting one person is a lot easier than three.
He's describing legal fascism. Like, I just need to get an extra person in there so I can do whatever I want. That's you know, against the will of the people in a republic. That's fascism.
Well, so is calling Nathan a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, it's very interesting to me that Patrick Jones went that route and decided to say that to me.
Yeah.
And especially after all I did was ask him a very fair and valid question, which pertained to the Zapata situation.
Right.
As per the restraining order with Carlos Zapata, he's required to return in his registered firearms. He turned in one to Jones Fort.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that was like, didn't seem like that should be something that could satisfy the terms of the restraining order.
Right.
And that's what I was implying to Jones, which he didn't answer, decided to just go left field and call me a domestic terrorist and then accuse me of being a part of the Seattle riots, which I was not.
Right.
And so that right there, I mean, that's a very untrue statement. And here's the thing. I've got all kinds of screenshots. And then you have Lori Bridgeford getting up there next calling me a domestic terrorist again.
Mm-hmm.
So him saying that now inspires other people to not project that hatred towards me, a private citizen.
So I wanted to touch on that. So they often like to brand, you know, people who are opposed to recall or leftists in general, which, you know, I actually don't think it's ascribed to leftists, but just anybody who disagrees with them, as promoting division. But really, it's the stuff like that, you know, coming from our leaders, like saying stuff like, hey, you know, you're a domestic terrorist. Well, that promotes division. Now we actually have that, you know, kind of trickle down, incendiary behavior and speech.
And
now
he validates these already just over-the-top people like Lori and Rich, you know, that already need to be stifled.
Yeah.
And then he just dumps fuel onto their fire of psychopathy.
Just gives them, makes them feel like they're credible. And they're, I'll be honest, they're not. They're not credible people. They,
Well, gentlemen, our scintillating conversation has attracted a caller. Are you there, Randy? Randy.
Oh, we have trouble hearing him.
Hello?
Hi, is that Randy?
There we go.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Randy, who do you need to talk to?
Hey, anyway, you know, I just had a question, maybe it's for Nathan, you know, about the police report. And so I'm just curious that, like, who's in charge of that? Is it the DA that's holding it up? Is it the Reading Police Department? You know, how is it that as a defendant, that the police report can be kept from that person? And listen to my answer off the air.
All right, yeah, thank you. That's a very good question, and one that I've been wanting the answer to as well. Why has it been so? Why did they release this press release, and, you know, 2 months later, the actual official police report with all the witness statements and everything has still yet to be released? We've attempted to get this. I think just last week we contacted, I believe it's the DA that has it currently. I'm not quite sure.
Stephanie Bridges, I believe, has it.
I'm not sure what they're doing with it, but we have attempted to get it, and I'm just, it is weird to me that we haven't been able to get a hold of this actual police report yet.
Are they giving you the little line that it's still under investigation?
It's still being prepared or something. Yeah. It still has to be reviewed. I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but it just doesn't seem like it's very fair that they should be able to release press release like that without the actual report available or the video footage.
The DA, Stephanie Bridget, was on the big radio station yesterday morning, and all this stuff was in the news. I thought, oh, good, they're going to ask about it, but they stepped right around it. Oof, nothing about the controversy that's actually going on inside town. Let's see here. Patriotism. You said you had some interesting thoughts about patriotism. Nathan.
I think patriotism is a thing that it's kind of like the American flag now. I feel like it's a word that's been cheapened by its use by certain groups and people. I believe in the American flag, and I believe that I am a patriot. I believe the true patriots are the people that protest for equal human rights. The true patriots are the people that want to allow part of their income to go to help the less fortunate and not just hoard everything for themselves. You know, the true patriots are brothers with each other and sisters and help each other, not just, hey, it's my way or the highway, you better believe my religion or I'm going to shoot you, you know.
Yeah, they care for the whole community, not just the ones that believe what they believe.
Right.
I think, like, my relationship with the flag is I really don't care much for Terry Rapoposa's wardrobe.
Right. See, he's personally really put a stain on the American flag for me by wearing it as a shirt all the time. Man.
And
pit stains or whatever.
And I understand the things that the flag symbolizes. And one of those things is freedom of speech, which is, I mean, I love this sort of analogy, is that if somebody burns a flag, you have to have the tolerance to understand that it's not, they're not destroying the ideals of America. It's like they're protesting something.
Right.
And we allow that in this country, and it's very special, unusual.
Right.
No other country has that in their Bill of Rights. So,
or like kneeling during a football game means you're not American.
Right, right.
You know, people, I still say people owe Colin Kaepernick a big apology.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it was a veteran that gave him the idea to kneel. He said this is a way to do it respectfully, and so he actually took note from a veteran.
That's what the Green Berets do for their fallen men, is they take a knee. And that is why he took a knee. And so it's really sad that the wrong people don't get that message.
Right. I just imagine if Colin Kaepernick would not have been a black player and knelt first.
What
would have happened?
That would be, you know, it would have been interesting if he had been maybe just joined by more white players. It's a travesty that he doesn't have an NFL contract. I mean, it's been a number of years now. It'd be kind of hard to catch back up. But
right.
It's, You know, there's enough bad quarterbacks out there that he could certainly find
it. Yeah. Yep, especially now.
Let me see here. Any more calls out there yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, it's early in the morning Saturday.
Right.
We're talking about patriotism because it's the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
I'm,
what are we going to do about fireworks?
Well, they're going to have them, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, it seems like a lot of people in this county like to light their own off.
Oh.
Yeah. You know?
Well, there's going to be that. Yeah. I just get scared about the big event. I'm surprised they're holding it, but I guess they know what they're doing, or maybe...
Personally, I think it was all put together, you know, before the fire season was expected to start. And I think it's a lot of money and a lot of public interest. And for me, when I heard they were doing fireworks, my first thought was, oof, that's like a scary prospect. But I understand why people want it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a symbol for people. I'm like kind of neither, you know, pro nor against right now. But I think, you know, in matters of like, you know, supporting your country and stuff, you don't need it. Like you can barbecue a bratwurst and be happy, you know.
Right. What is it? I see if I can remember the old saying. It's baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
Yeah.
There's no fireworks.
Yeah. And
no,
we got
there was fireworks in the commercial though.
Got a nice little comment on the bulletin board. They are accusing us of too many soy products. So, you know, I'm going to put a soy burger on the grill when I get home.
Soy products?
Too many soy products. Yeah. Hey, we're going to go to a group. Do we got a phone call in there yet? I think what we're going to do is take a break. And we're at the bottom of the hour here, and that'll give us a little more time on the backside.
All right.
So we're going to go ahead and pull out and take a break, and we'll be right back.
Expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit. My family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
We're back. By the way, that's the Yellow Jackets. Hey, RV.
Yo.
They opened up the Cascade. Did you get your season ticket thing yet?
I did not. No.
Yeah.
I usually do.
Yeah. I've already got Pat Metheny booked.
Ah.
Anyway, can't wait for Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror. Yeah. Hey, anyway, Common Ground Radio, and you can go to our Facebook page and take a look there, and we appreciate any kind of comments that you leave on the Facebook page. And just real quick, we have a caller on the line who has a real interesting and relevant perspective of patriotism. Rocky, are you there?
Yeah.
Go.
Well, I want to.
Yeah, man, you got about 4 minutes.
Okay, good. I want to say I appreciate you guys for shining a little bit of light here in Reading. I mean, it really needs to be exposed the way the local politics and things are coming down. And I appreciate you, Nathan. But anyway, what is patriotism? I was an Army officer, helicopter pilot, 68-69 Vietnam. And My Lai Massacre happened at that time, and that wasn't an isolated incident. That was going on all over Vietnam. I got a bird's-eye view of it. And several of us, our pilots in my company, resisted that, and we got in big trouble. They say, shut up and do your job. And anyway, I believe that patriotism is standing up for the truth and doing what's right, despite what the hierarchy tells you to do. And so, anyway.
Rocky, were you an officer or enlisted man?
I was a chief warrant officer with the 1st Cav Division, 229th Assault Helicopter Battalion.
So standing up as a warrant officer, that's a big deal.
And anyway, I wasn't an isolated incident. There were a half a dozen of us that made that stand, and we paid for it.
What was the repercussions?
Bad flight mission, disciplinary action, unnecessary duties.
So they send you on more dangerous.
In my case, an other than honorable discharge that I had to fight and get it upgraded to an honorable.
That's a big deal. A lot of people that haven't been in the military don't understand it. That honorable discharge official title is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're saying they gave you more dangerous flights because you stood up?
Pardon me?
Did you say that they gave you more dangerous flights because you stood up?
Correct. The missions that nobody else wanted to do.
Just like a punishment.
Basic harassment until you conform. And anyway,
congratulations for making it back alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I still got friends in the area that served with me, and we basically feel the same way. Patriotism is truth, regardless of where it falls on the political line.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rocky.
Thank you.
That was great. You guys look a little bit young for the service.
Mm-hmm. I was Air Force.
Oh, that's right. You were. Tell us about your service.
I was Security Forces. I was at Lackland Air Force Base, basically where they do the training, and that's also where the base I was ended up being stationed at.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ever have to get deployed or go into combat, you know. Luckily, you know, it just wasn't nothing I had to do. I was basically just a gate guard.
Right.
You know.
Right. You did four years doing that? So an honorable discharge, all that? Honorable discharge, people. It's really hard to get one of those. I got one 4 years, 78 to 82. And, boy, if there was anybody that shouldn't have got one, it's me.
Yeah.
But let's see, where else are we going? Oh, I wanted to mention, I guess his name might be KZAP the Cat or Derek Y. We have received your gift, and we will be sharing it with our studio guests.
Very good gift. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
Awesome, man.
Appreciate it.
What's coming else? I know what I wanted to ask you, because this has kind of been irritating me. Now, you haven't been as active as you were before with your videos and stuff, Nathan.
Right.
Now, what is going on about that?
Well, I have in a way. I started posting videos on a new platform. I've been using TikTok, mm-hmm. Which has been seemingly pretty successful. My videos are getting, I think the last month, there's like over 500,000 views on my videos.
Awesome.
And so there's a lot of people that are from town that are, you know, following on there. And then thing with Facebook is, it's so easy for someone to report yourself on Facebook. You get these people that make all these fake accounts, and they just, once you get something reported on Facebook and it gets removed, then you're in their algorithm, and then they can just continue to report your items, you know, and then it's like a game of numbers, you know. Mm-hmm. If they report 10 things, two of them are probably going to get removed.
So your Buford White videos, whether they have any, like, objective content in them or not, are getting removed because somebody doesn't like you.
There was one of the Buford videos that got removed, but the thing is, my last page where I had on them all posted, that whole page got removed.
Wow.
So I put them all into, like, a super cut and just put them all into one video, and then all the other videos now have just been other videos since. But I could re-upload them all individually. That would just take a long time.
All right. So now if people want to see, where do they go on TikTok?
You can just go to Reading Be Like, just like Facebook. Just search Reading Be Like on TikTok, and it should come up.
You also got Nathan the Creator on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I search YouTube for Nathan the Creator. Yeah.
And you're not having those censorship issues on YouTube?
No, YouTube's a lot more relaxed, I think. Plus, mm-hmm. I have the ability to disable comments on videos so people can't get into fights. And
but it's kind of interesting that all these people that are talking about cancel culture
right.
are out to cancel you.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing this for years with
can't,
me.
We can't forget Benjamin's... stream?
Yeah, my weekly Thank news you. Program. I actually started that only about a month ago now. It's called the North State Breakdown. It's available on Facebook. I also have it on YouTube, although I have no followers
there
on there.
Choice.
I don't. It's not really a platform that I use. But I also have Instagram, which I haven't started uploading to that too. But Facebook's the primary platform.
And the best way to get there?
Yes.
Is?
Oh, search for the North State Breakdown on Facebook.
Yeah, everybody go follow the North State Breakdown. It's an excellent show.
Can we take a phone call, guys and gals? We're going to go ahead and take a real quick phone call. Carrie, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
I've been listening to the show, and, you know, one of the things I thought of is this, you know, a number of the recall supporters have publicly denounced critical race theory and its instruction in our schools. How do you think this has and will continue to impact Shasta County's perception of patriotism? Specifically, do you see a link of education and this whole my way or the highway attitude? And what can we do about it?
I can go first.
I think that critical race theory is very important, and especially in Shasta County where it has had a severe lack of, you know, racial diversity and culture of other races. So a lot of people around here have not really even left Shasta County for, you know, a lot of their life, or they haven't gone very far, and they haven't been exposed to the culture of other races. And yeah. So I think because of that, they're ignorant to the positive things about the other races. They don't understand these other cultures, and so they're more quick to fear certain things, and then fear obviously breeds, you know, hatred.
Well, that, and I think there's a big misunderstanding of what critical race theory is. You know, they view it as like, hey, this is supposed to be, you know, white shaming. This is supposed to be making you feel bad, you know, for things that happen outside of your control. And it's not about that at all. It's about like, hey, you know, there is a, you know, deep-seated history that goes through our entire nation, and in addition to our county, you know, that you know, knowledge can help you you know, stop the cycle. And it's not about like shaming anybody. There shouldn't be any shame involved. It should be like, hey, you know, this is stuff that it's not stuff that we're going to say about our country that makes us not proud of it. It's going to say, hey, I'm proud of my country, and I don't want to continue that kind of behavior.
I think one thing that really needs to be addressed is, as this argument is being framed, is critical race theory in
yeah.
our grade schools. That is absolute nonsense. I can tell you that for a fact in Shasta County. I've substitute taught in K-12 schools all over the place for the last 5 years. Never seen any critical race theory, which is a pretty complex academic discipline
yeah.
that's usually taught in upper-level college classes. Some of the findings of critical race theory might be taught in K through 12 schools, like, for instance, redlining neighborhoods so that African Americans can't afford to live there.
Yeah.
That's how that stuff was found, was using the techniques of critical race theory. But when people say, oh, critical race theory's in our school, they're full of nonsense.
They don't do the research. They don't know what it is. They just heard the word race, and they said no.
It's a scare word.
They just categorize it with BLM and Antifa. That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big BLM and Antifa are these two words, like just this big bucket where they can just put everything in that they don't like and don't want to have to deal with or explain.
Domestic terrorist.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I think we should reclaim the pronunciation of Antifa. I hate that pronunciation. It should be Antifa.
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 The emphasis should be on the ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For all those people that are against Antifa, they are against being anti-fascist.
Yeah.
Means they're pro-fascist.
Right.
Yeah, which it's a title that fits Jones pretty good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me.
It's like when he called me, it's like domestic terrorist or just a mirror, you know.
Well, no, yep. They do like to accuse people of the things that they, you know, secretly are.
A very projecting group of people. Very projecting group of people.
Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly. Yeah. What do we do?
Keep rolling.
Oh, okay. What do we think? I asked this a little bit earlier. It's like I said, is the recall movement at a pivot point? Is it over for Carlos Zapata in this movement after these criminal charges?
Do you want to get this, Nathan?
Well, I think that Jones said to the Record Searchlight that Carlos's legal situation won't affect the recall, and I'm like, that doesn't seem to make any sense. If that's the case, why was he not in the entire last episode of Red, White, and Blueprint?
Yeah.
He's been, like, the first episode starts off with him. It's all about Carlos. Yeah. That's why I made the parodies, because it's like this guy in this cowboy hat, and he looks ridiculous.
He's got a walk-on scene and a side-by-side, and then
then you see on, like, episode three, I guess Jones is, you know, doing the ones because that Carlos has already gotten accused of.
Yeah, it's when he admits to not being able to count.
Right. Yeah. And then now they're just like,
that was a good name you made.
I think they're just kind of maybe getting rid of him, or they're just gonna, now that we've said this, they're gonna bring him back super strong in the next one.
So RV, it's interesting you mentioned that because I have some thoughts on this.
Okay.
So originally I thought they were going to throw him away, you know, like because he started stepping back and kind of disappearing a little bit, and then this whole business, you know, on the Red, White, and Blueprint page, they're posting that they want on July 12th.
Yeah, they
want to
do
people
grassroots insurrection.
Yeah, they want a bunch of people to show up at the courthouse for Carlos's arraignment, which is like DA intimidation.
Yeah,
how's that supposed to be good for their case, man?
Yeah, that was my first thought. You know, let's intimidate the court, the judges, and the DA into getting our way.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure, you know, we can track, like, episode 5 right now. It's going to be, you know, Custer's last stand. And but I don't think they realize what happened to Custer after he did that, so...
I just want to interject one thing here. There's been some stuff on the bulletin board. Well, why don't you guys talk about the guy who slapped... What's your name?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to talk about that guy.
Let's do this. But real quick, in answer to that question, Common Ground does not endorse violence of any means, type, or form, period.
Yeah.
Leave your slappers at home.
Yeah.
Leave your guns at home.
Mm-hmm. And do not slap the recallers.
Do not slap anybody.
No.
And, you know, I remember that thing that Carlos said, you know, we're not giving up. They didn't get enough belt.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
That's not appropriate.
So, you're not going to be able to peg that on us. Go ahead.
So, Brad Hart, you know, we did a little bit of research. You know, we found out he was a member of the LGBTQ community. He wasn't necessarily an outspoken, like, anti-recall person. I mean, maybe he is, but he isn't involved in any of the stuff that I've seen.
I didn't hear his name before that. Incident.
Yeah, I'd never heard his name before that either.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
But after that happened to him, to Kathy Stainbrook, after that happened to her, I immediately was like, this is a bad for, you know, any movement, right, you know, or any, you know, thing that we're trying to accomplish. And even if it was somebody like, like when Nathan was attacked, like it was a denunciation of violence. It doesn't matter what political alignment, what you're trying to accomplish. It does not matter. It is something I am vehemently, and everyone I know is vehemently against. And I think that the issue, the big issue that I had with Kathy Stainbrook is when she, you know, went into the boardroom chambers, you know, to air her grievances. We all kind of felt for her, even though we did not agree with her at all. Like, she came in super upset. She was, you know, crying. And then she proceeded to blame the supervisors for making a Pride Month proclamation, which is just, it kind of throws her entire argument in the garbage. Mm-hmm. She blamed, you know, emboldening LGBTQ plus individuals for her attack because mm-hmm. they got recognition.
She was also quite aggressive at the Sprouts Rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she says that she was slapped for nothing. This is not, she should not have been slapped.
I agree.
And it's like, I'm not,
never.
Not victim blaming, but she says, crying, that she was slapped because someone was told, bless you. You know, and then these sort of, evangelical, Trump types, they'll say things like, you know what, we'll all just pray for you. Or, they don't mean it, you know, and I don't know how it was said, but he definitely should not have slapped her, but the way she delivered her statement about it.
Say, do we got a second here? Somebody here that actually knows a little about history, that this is...
Yes, yes, that's Jenny Nguyen, that is my wife.
She is going to talk about John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
John Adams, oh, right.
Hi, it's kind of weird to be here. Okay, so... I've been hearing a lot about patriotism. What's the definition? How would you explain it to people? And I think John Adams said it best when he spoke to his wife. Or more like wrote. He was writing letters back and forth. They loved each other dearly. And she said, why are you doing this? Come home to me. Why do you do this? Leave it to someone else. And he said, I study war and politics so my children can study math and science, so their children can study philosophy and art. And I have to ask, you know, how many people here that call themselves patriots, how many are doing it like that? How many are saying, I risk my all, I risk my life, I risk my very soul, who I am, my name, so that people after me can have a better life? That's patriotism.
Bravo. Mm,
thank
wow.
you.
Bravo.
Yeah. Wow.
What wasn't it Gene Adams who said, don't forget the women?
Yes. Yes, Abigail Adams was very clear. She was like, I know you're fighting for the freedoms and equal rights. Don't forget the women.
That's right.
Good.
That's beautiful.
So we got about,
you know, we've got about 10 minutes here. So what about we do this? Nathan, do you have like a couple of things you want to focus in on real quick? And same with Benjamin and same with RV.
All right.
I think that we should right now definitely focus on fighting this recall harder than ever. And then another thing I want to say is with this arraignment coming up where they're planning on, showing up, you know, looks like there's going to be a lot of people trying to show up on court streets on the 12th.
Going to be some drone footage of some patriots.
Yeah. I would say don't go to this. Nobody go to this.
I would guess his attorney's going to say don't go to this.
Right.
Yeah.
I think no one should go to this, especially anybody against the recall. Let them go have their little video op for their next little YouTube show.
Yeah.
And let them just go piss off the DA and the marshals all they want.
Yeah.
Let's not be part of that.
I agree.
Okay. So,
okay, folks, we've got one caller on the line, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. And I do want to once again announce that we have a great candidate for 81 who is going to give Doug LaMalfa a real run for the money. Mm-hmm. I really encourage – this guy's sharp. And RV and I met him last week. and he's got us stuff together. And I really think he's going to be a really good candidate. So, once again, that's going to be an opportunity for you to call in and ask this guy questions. And let me just check here real quick. Storm, do we have... Okay, there was a false flag.
Benjamin's turn.
That's right.
So, in regards to the recall, you know, I've had a lot to talk about, you know, on, you know, forums and also, you know, in my comments in the meetings, if any of you've listened. But I think my biggest issue is that, you know, when you come to the table and you wanna be involved civically, you need to understand that you aren't the only one at that table. And so it's telling to me that they want to push everyone out so that they're the only ones at the table. And that's not going to build a better society. In fact, it's really just going to tear it down. And, you know, building something is always going to be more difficult and ultimately more rewarding than tearing something down. Mm. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to build something.
Yes.
Cool. Excellent. My sort of role sometimes around Common Ground is to try to redefine what Common Ground means. And in terms of the recall, what that means to me is reaching out to the group of people that I've been calling regular Republicans, which means, I hate to define it in terms of negatives, but it means you're not a crazy Trumpster.
The tolerant right.
The tolerant right. Yes. Let's call them that, regular Republicans. As I sort of feel, are the three supervisors that are up for, or they're attempting to try to recall are, Modi, right. Rickert, and Chimenti are what we used to call moderate conservatives, mm-hmm. and or moderate Republicans, and now they're being chastised for that.
They're actually pretty fantastic representatives.
Yeah,
they're okay, you know. But here's the thing that I worry about is like I was doing some research for an upcoming show, and I realized that the supervisors we're supporting now all voted together on the anti-sanctuary county thing. And I really hate symbolic votes like that. It didn't really mean anything in terms of what happens in this county.
They should have voted not to even have the vote.
It meant
nothing.
Okay. And that's disappointing to me, and it's like I know that some people are not going to forgive people for that, and I feel like we have to step beyond our doctrinaire stuff and make sure this doesn't happen, because if Jones gets one more vote on that county board, things are going to change drastically.
Yeah. We're always going to find disagreements. And see, that's why I keep going to the tables. I'm like, I want to find those disagreements where mm-hmm. we maybe can find that common ground or maybe have our fights. But like, we've been pushed all the way to the side to where we have to have this fight. It's like a bigger fight. You know, right now we're Tom and Jerry. We're teaming up. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. You look at the Thought You Should Know group on Facebook. It's Republicans and Democrats and liberals and all kinds of people that are all working together because they don't want this recall. Because even though all these different groups have different political views, it's still so much more closely aligned than these extreme people that want to just overthrow everything and shoot everybody.
Absolutely. You know?
There is a silver lining to this. Like, as I've been going through this process, I see bipartisanship start to take form.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, it's like I don't want to be, you know, overly optimistic and be like, hey, this is going to stick. You know, if, you know, we defeat the recall, we're all going to be buddies. I don't think that's the case, but I do find very important paths and connections being made right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if we are successful, we actually can make a difference in this town.
Yes. Okay. So RV's got a little announcement here I think we need to make.
Oh, yeah, a future guest, Mary Rickert, will be here on the 17th.
Awesome.
Excellent.
You don't want to miss that.
She might be phoning in. She's, you know, their family, one of their family ranches is up in Siskiyou where one of those big fires is right now.
Oh, no.
I think Mary's great. She is just a
you got to have her bring some jerky up here.
Awesome lady.
Oh. So I just want to say one thing. As a member of the Central Committee here in Shasta County, I can't vote for a Republican. I just can't do it. That being said, that common ground or that bipartisanship.
Yes.
Yes. We can, as Democrats, oppose recall, and every single Democrat in Shasta County should be fighting that recall.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then we'll work out a vote later on. As far as our supervisors go, I want to say this. I have seen them kind of coming around and actually surprised at the support that they're getting from Republicans, safe and sane Republicans, from safe and sane Republicans, from Democrats, from progressives, from independent, no party preference people. I think they're a little surprised. They're going, wow.
Is that an actual group name, Safe and Sane Republicans?
Well, it should be.
It would be a good group.
I think we ought to trademark that.
Yeah.
I'm still calling them the tolerant right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Tolerant conservative.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, anything else? Any final thoughts here? We've got a thought over here.
I'm hijacking this radio station now. Okay, so I was thinking, because you guys were talking about party lines, I want you all to remember George Washington's final speech, his final address. He said not to let parties divide you. He said that party lines will destroy this country. So just remember.
Well, that being said, I do have to say that there is some party lines that I think are actively destroying our country. And this whole thing that the Republican legislators in, 30 different states right now are suppressing the vote for people of color.
Right.
Just active. They're being out front about it. Mm-hmm. Actively. And not only that, what's really, really dangerous is they're making it so the legislators can throw out the Electoral College vote. In other words, it doesn't matter who won. They're going to decide. And they're going to send their own electoral members to Congress and bypass the people's vote. Now, folks, that's not patriotism. Mm. That's not what the Constitution of the United States is about.
That's fascism.
That's getting into fascism. That's not what the 4th of July is about, folks. The 4th of July, look, the Declaration of Independence was not perfect by any means. And slowly, slowly, we've been working to make it better, make it better, make it better. On the other side, they've been slowly trying to, what do they call it, originalism? Trying to walk that back. Mm-hmm. And so, folks, I mean, I agree that the common ground is where we need to be. There is a lot of common ground. In other words, there's a majority of people in this country that support the Voter Act. They just flat out do. Majority of people support a living wage. Majority of people support health care for all, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And so that's the common ground. Is it ever going to be perfect? No, it's not going to be perfect. But, folks, that's what 4th of July is about, is recognizing the common ground that we have and moving on that instead of falling into the party line fight. And right now, I think the Republicans are losing, but that's just my bias. Arby.
I hope that, I mean, it's difficult because we're skipping around talking about local, state, and national issues.
It's all tied together.
All tied together. Right here in Shasta County, as far as the recall is concerned, I want to feel really bad that we're ahead. but it's so difficult to measure this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten really any good intelligence from the field about how well the signature gathering is going.
No.
One stat I saw on the difference between the Facebook pages on the Shasta Forward group and the Recall Shasta group,
right,
is they're about the exact same amount of followers on each page.
Yeah. They're low, right?
Yeah, they're like
500 correctly.
Something. Yeah.
I saw that, yeah. So, and it's, you know, I keep hearing horror stories about recall people dragging their kids around in 110-degree heat.
Yeah.
And I can't
save
imagine.
Save the children.
Well, in addition to, you know, potentially illegal forms of collecting, you know, signatures, you know, like Title II violations on public lands and stuff like that, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of steps being investigated right now. It's just ridiculous.
The Fair Political Practices Commission, they're not very good at getting off the information while we're still doing investigations.
Yeah, they wait.
But the fact that it's taken some time probably means there's something there.
I agree.
And I don't know how they can claim Red, White, and Blueprint isn't a political campaign device. But we'll find out about that more next time.
And, folks, that's all we got for this hour. And Let's give a big hand to everybody for showing up today in the studio. Great job, great job.
Thank you so much.
Have a safe
Christian
and
RV.
Stay cool out there.
And a safe and sound 4th of July. Don't do anything stupid.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.